sing to the Lord a new song. Seems like there's so many songs that we find on our hearts when God has touched us. And beautiful things that he does for us. I believe there were, though they're not songs, the psalms that David wrote, at least 73 of them, was because he just wanted to sing. I believe he actually sang most of those psalms, and it's because God had done things and touched his life. He just can't help but praise the Lord. And he just kept writing psalms over and over and over again because he wanted to let folks know. He wanted people to realize, I've been touched by the hand of the Lord. I was going through something, and I had a situation. I sing because he brought me through. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because the Lord's got his arms around me. I sing because I just feel good about what the Lord does for me and continues to do for me. I sing. I'm glad he watches over the sparrows. They need his eye upon them. And I'm glad he's watching over a lot of friends I know have gone through some things. But I'm just glad he watches over me. I'm glad he's got his hand on me. His eye is on the sparrow. But he's not too busy with the sparrows to watch over me, my Lord. The scripture was read this morning from 1 Corinthians 12 and then 13. And I think most of us know that here Paul was talking to that church at Corinth because somehow it seemed that they had gotten off track, and there are some things that they needed to focus on. So they needed to focus on some things that they were doing within the church. And there was a certain element that seemed to be missing that was so very, very important that he talks about in that 13th chapter when he talks about love. But he was focusing on the church. I'm going to just pull two verses out of that 12th chapter. The 25th and 26th verse. If I take that out, it says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. And one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. I want to speak with you a little while this morning about relationships within the household of faith. Relationships in this household of faith. I guess it's, you can't say anything good about Satan, but Satan is good at changing people's lives by destroying relationships. He's able to destroy relationships. There are things that are going on, and perhaps one of the most beautiful things, I've said this often, that one of the beautiful things that God does for us is provide us with special, beautiful relationships that we can have. Our lives start that relationship with that mom who just doesn't want to put us down, and that dad who spoils us, and all those things. Yeah, it's beautiful relationships. Our lives are surrounded, our hearts are surrounded with joy by the relationships that somehow God provides for us and gives to us. Throughout our lives, we find ourselves in school with the friends and the good friends. Friends you can have a good time with. Those relationships are special. And then somehow you just want to talk with those friends all day long, play with the little kids all day long. And when you're growing up, it seems like so many good things. Good relationships. And as life goes on, the relationships become more important. They become more significant, if you will, as we find the person who we're going to spend the rest of our lives with. And somehow the relationships grow, and something beautiful about relationships. Wait a minute, bud. Pastor Stinger said Satan has something here he wants to bring in. He wants to bring in some disruptions to those relationships. When we're the little kids, those relationships, somehow Satan seems to be able to do something that can cause the kids that seem to have so much fun with one another to get into a little fight or scuffle. Somebody said something or somebody did something, and somebody misunderstood something, and they end up destroying that beautiful relationship. We were having a good time together, And then somebody told me that you said, you know what? I don't think Satan ever has a hard time finding a mouth to spread a rumor or a lie. He can always find one. But somehow it seems that as you go through life, those relationships that when we were kids, they were important, they were good, they were. But as we grow older and older, the relationships become more important to us. I'm talking about when we get to the point where we've selected a mate or God has given us a mate, and we find that we're in this relationship together and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Beautiful relationship, beautiful times together. You're the right person. I know God put you in my life.
Yes, sir.
And again, Satan has no problem finding ways to destroy those relationships. He's able to do that. It's strange because if you look closely, you look at the thing that caused that relationship to go away, to be scuttled, to end up not being what it used to be. Sometimes you look back and figure out what it was, and it was so minor, so insignificant,
yes,
that it can't possibly compare with the beautiful relationship that it destroyed.
Oh,
relationships. Mm-hmm. Relationships in families. Relationships in churches.
Yeah.
Here in this scripture, we find that what Paul is really trying to let these folks know is that you are somebody special.
Amen.
You are the body of Christ. In other words, the things that the Lord is going to do here on the earth, we who are the church, we're the ones that are going to accomplish those things. He's giving us the talents and all that we need in order to do what he would have us to do. And so we come together with all our different gifts and all our different talents and all the drive that we have to accomplish the things that the Lord would have us to do. And somehow as we come together and the church comes together, we look around ourselves and we find that there are folks that can do this. There are folks who can sing because the songs of Zion being sung certainly lifts the church to another level. There are folks who can bring the word of God. They've studied and they've gone through it and somehow the Lord has touched them and given them the words that they're able to preach and bring. Those who are on the door, somebody needs to be there to welcome the folks in and let them know that you're in the right place. God meant for you to be here today. There's something for you in this place. The church come together and everybody here, we appreciate the things that Angelo does on that piano that nobody can do like Angelo does. There's so many things that we appreciate you, Sister Cassandra, the way you come and bring us the messages and the things we need to hear about what's going on in our church and around it, and somehow all the things that you do and just in your position, getting folks together for when they have to have a funeral or whatever, all the work you do, we appreciate that. We don't say we appreciate you enough, but we love each other in the church. Something special, appreciating each other, recognizing God has put us together. God has made us what we are. We are a church, and we need to recognize each other and love one another. What was going wrong in Corinth was folks were getting to feel like we're important. Nobody can do what I do like I do it. This place would not be what it is if I weren't the one who do the things that I can do and will do. Something special about the way I can usher. Something special about the way I can sing. And nobody can do the things. No, no, no. Paul said, I want you to know this. All of you together, we're the body of Christ. And all of the parts have to love one another. Before we can do what the Lord has for us to do, which is to go out and let the world know about him, we have to have that special relationship among ourselves inside the church. Paul is saying you can't really do it if you don't have that love within the church, that trust within the church, that sharing within the church, that caring about one another within the church. All of those special things, you said love, but then you go down the list of all those things that fall under that. Forgiveness and love go together. All the special things that we can look, a long list of the compassion and all the things that love embodies. That's what we have to do inside of the church. Paul is telling us that. Paul is saying that of all the things that you have, all those gifts, all those special things that you can do, all that stuff that you do know, all of those things are not meaningful if you don't have love.
Amen.
If you don't do it with love. In that 13th chapter, he starts off saying, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, powerful preacher, I can bring the word in a mighty way, but if I do it without love, if it's not really love, if it's not, we as a church need to start recognizing that, and I think we do, recognize that love is who we are. We are the body of Christ. And somehow when people look upon us and the things that we do, the way we walk, the way that we live, our DNA ought to match up with the body of Christ because he is who we are. So we need to make sure that we within the church do as the scriptures say here, love one another within the church. Have compassion. Reach out for, touch one another within the church. If somebody's a part of this household of faith, you need to have a special relationship with them because you're a part of the same body. You're a part of this body of Christ. You're a part of those who, when somebody looks at the church, they don't look and say, well, oh yeah, he's a musician over there. No, he's a part of that church. And the things that you do when you're walking around, when people watch you, oh, that's what church folk do. Yeah. Love, that relationship. Somehow we need to make certain that we don't allow Satan to in our homes or in our church, in our families, wherever we might be on our jobs. We must not let Satan do what he does so well, destroy relationships. A church, if it doesn't have love, is a dysfunctional church. It's not going to grow. People are going to come and see and recognize the dysfunction and the lack of love. People are going to come and decide, well, this is not where I want to be and go. A church without love is a dysfunctional organization. It's not a church. It's just an organization, maybe a Christian organization. But we're talking about church. When we're talking about church, we're talking about the body of Christ. We're talking about somebody who embodies the love of God. Somehow we need to realize that the love of God needs to flow through this body. The love of God needs to flow through all of us. And if somebody's going through something, if somebody who's a part of this body is going through something, we all feel bad about it. And we all have a problem with it. But when they can rejoice, we can all rejoice together. I suppose if you look at it the way Paul was, I guess he was saying, if my thumb is really hurting and somebody asks me how I'm doing today, I'm going to say not real well. All it was is your thumb. No, but it's just the thumb hurting is just as important as any other part hurting. If there's anybody, anyone who's a part of the household who's going through some pain, going through some difficulty, all should be down and pray to God that he'll help us to bring it through and out of that situation. We're going to find that within the church, Satan is going to find ways of keeping us from having that love and that relationship with one another. Something was said, something I heard, something somebody told me. It's so easy. Doesn't take but a couple of words to destroy a lifetime. Doesn't take but a couple of words, somebody said, to start a war. Doesn't take but a couple of words to destroy a relationship. The beautiful relationships that we need to have one with another in the church, if you don't feel it's there, it's something that needs to be worked on. If there's this problem among the folks in the church anywhere, somehow we need to work on that. We need to get together and talk about it and get ourselves to the point where we are a part of this body of Christ, loving each other because we are a part of the body. We love one another. We have a relationship, beautiful relationship with one another. If we have a beautiful relationship with the Lord, then it's all that God would have it to be. What a beautiful life you can have. I have a beautiful relationship with the God of the universe. I have a beautiful relationship with my wife, my children. My children respect and love me. I've got some good relationships. On the job, when I go over there, people come in and say good morning to me because I have good relationships over there. But you know, in any one of those places, any place in my life, I could easily have disruption in those relationships. And all it takes is for Satan to have his way just for a little while. But I need to recognize I need to recognize who Satan is and recognize that Satan is going to be trying hard and recognize that those things that seem to be trying to tear us apart, keep us from being that church that God would have us to be, we need to recognize what it is. If Satan tries to get you to the point where they say, you know, they don't like the way you sing. Oh, that's the start of something that's going to go on for a long time. Satan can get it going. Satan can make some changes in the relationships. We need to recognize he's going to be trying that, especially in the household of faith. He doesn't want the church to function. He doesn't want us to be what the Lord would have us to be. And it's so easy for him to get some words thrown in there, some situations thrown in there, some problems thrown in there that cause us to be less than what the Lord would have us to be. Not just in the church. We need to watch out for him at home as well. We need to make sure that the things that somebody says and the things that people do, we don't put enough weight on them to cause them to have an opportunity to tear us apart in our household. Satan's going to be trying. I just came to let you know. I just want you to hear this. Satan has his eye on you and your relationship with your partner in life, your relationship with this church, your relationship with the folks on that job. Satan knows all about it, and Satan knows some ways to try to change things. What we need to do is know that that's Satan. That's who he is. That's what he's going to try to do. Satan can try all he wants, but Satan's not going to destroy a relationship with Barb. No, no. Because I know her too well. I love her too much. She cares too much about me. I know we got a good relationship. Satan's going to try it, though. And I'm going to look out for him. That was a while back when Satan brought something. Satan came and told Barb something, had somebody to tell. He, like I say, he always find them out. And told Barb something. And if she had really believed, we wouldn't be together right now. Somehow, it took a while for her to know that this person just says all kind of stuff. It's just okay. But you got some words that are going to be said about you, to you, in this household of faith. There are going to be things that are going to be done in this household of faith that don't quite settle right with you. But don't allow Satan to have that victory in your relationship. Paul said to those, he said, I want you to know this. I want you to realize that there are going to be folks who are going through things in your household of faith. And when they're hurting, you need to be hurting with them. There are going to be folks who are going to have some things to rejoice. Adam's about to get an award. Yeah. Things we can rejoice about.
That's right.
We rejoice together.
Amen.
Because we love one another.
That's right.
And because among ourselves, we have those beautiful relationships.
Amen.
One of the most beautiful things that God has given to us is our relationships.
Yeah,
think about it. That special, beautiful relationship, that's just a start. Go down the list. There are more than one, but I'm sure there's one that's right at the top. Beautiful relationships. Satan can target it at any moment, and you need to recognize that that relationship, that beautiful relationship, is far more important than anything that Satan can try to do. He wants a victory just to tear you down one level.
That's right.
And once it starts, once he gets started, he'll throw in some more. And then he'll throw in some more. We need to love one another. Care about one another. Rejoice with one another. You know what? I'm going to interrupt my message for just a minute because I want you to hear a testimony. This is something that came up at the service, our prayer service on Friday night. I thought, folks need to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
There was something that somebody who's a part of our congregation was going through. They went to a doctor, went to a couple of doctors, got several opinions from many doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctors let them know that we can bring you through this, but you're never going to be like you were before. There are going to be problems with the equipment you have to wear on your body and the pain that you're going to always have a little bit of that. We'll be able to get it all straightened out, but at least we believe from where we are now that you will be able to survive. And that's bad news. They said they're going to survive, but that sounds like bad news. And so we as a church prayed and had been praying. Prayer service on Friday night often included talking about this situation. But prayer service on Friday night said that those doctors, and they got second and third opinions, they didn't quite get it right. Is that right, Sister Cruz? You want to tell us what happened?
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord, church.
This church that prayed together and was going through this with her, we were down about it.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Now, don't preach.
I said I'd be obedient to the Lord, but I just want to let you know we have a true and living God.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
We can rejoice with her. Go ahead.
Hallelujah.
Man said that I had cancer, but my doctor never said cancer. They sent me to several doctors. They told me in the operating room I would have two doctors. They took me for test after test. But every member that I saw in this church, I said, pray for me. Sometimes I told my husband, I say, I know they get tired of me saying pray for me. But that prayer led to where they said in my intestines, I had a mass. I didn't even know I had. And it was around in my intestine area. They took four pieces out of me in place, plus the mass, and it was benign.
Hallelujah.
Nothing was there.
Glory.
Glory.
Thank you. Thank you.
When I went to see my family doctor, she said as she read the report, she said, Laura, Laura, Laura. But I said, no, say Jesus. Yes. Jesus, Jesus.
Amen.
Because of nothing but the grace of God.
Yeah, that's right.
They told me they were going to take 6 inches off of my core, off my intestines.
Yeah.
And my husband looked at me, and I looked at him, and I'm still praying. Then he said, but once we get in, it's possible we're going to take more.
Yeah.
And that you'll probably have to wear a bag.
Yeah.
But my God.
My God. My God. Hallelujah.
My God. There will not be no sign of cancer.
Yeah.
I'm a living testimony.
Amen.
Testify, church, of what God is
yeah.
doing.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
I got a praying family.
Yes,
a praying church family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like the pastor say, let the other stuff drop by the wayside. Give yourself to the Lord and pray.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because through all things, he can bring you out.
Yes, he will.
When it first came up on me, I went to Brookie. And I said, pray for me. Because at the same time, somebody stepped up and wanted to give him a kidney. And I was so afraid I wasn't going to be here to receive his love because I didn't know where I was going to be. But that prayer in this church, I'm telling you, it's nothing like it. We got some miracles up in here, church.
Yes, we do.
God bless you.
Thank you, God.
That there should be no schism in the body, that the members should have the same care one for another, and whether one member suffer while she was going through, we were all going through. But you know what? One member be honored. One member be blessed. One who are part of this body have a testimony about what the Lord done for us. We can all praise him together, recognizing how good he is. We need to hold ourselves together as a church and recognize that Satan is going to try to tear us apart. He doesn't want us to have that love for one another. He doesn't want us to pray for one another. He doesn't want us to have that strong, 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 powerful Christian relationship. But we are the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, we need to love one another. Everybody needs to care about, you know, we say that all the time. Yeah, yeah, I love him. I love him. When you're really saying, I'll tolerate them or I'll put up with them. No, no, it's got to be more than that. You've got to care. Amen. And ask God to help you to get to that point. That's if you're right. Not there, you care and love one another. That's who we are. That's what Paul was telling them. We are the body of Christ. And he went on to use that 1 Corinthians 13 that all have heard. It just talks about love, what love really is. That's the way we need to feel about one another. Each one, not just one or two, not just your little clique, not just your group, not just some folks that you talk with, not just some folks you have a good time with, not just some folks who agree with you on everything. No, no. As a whole, the whole body. I'm taking a long time to say this, but we are the household of faith. We are a household of prayer. But we are also a household of love. And somehow when you become a part of the household of faith, you are a part of the body of Christ. And you need to love everybody else who's a part of it. Amen. You need to get to that point where we pray for one another. Not just for one another. Pray with one another. Somehow sharing each other's burdens and knowing that nobody feels like you put more on them than you wanted to have on them when you gave them your burden. You gave me your burden, I wanted your burden so I can pray for you and pray with you because I love each one of you. We need to have that special, beautiful relationship one with another in this household of faith. But again, as I said before, Satan doesn't want it to happen. Satan wants there to be problems that'll cause folks to feel like this is not the right place for me. They'll be talking about the things that went on, things that happened when really there should be praise and get together and resolve and change situations if they need to be. Somehow God put it on my heart today to tell us we need to work on our relationships. Again, this doesn't just end in the church. We need to work on our relationships by recognizing that Satan is trying to destroy those relationships, not just here in the church, but in our homes. Recognize how special the relationships are that you have as a family, and don't allow the things that Satan is doing to cause that family to become less of a loving family. Don't let Satan destroy your relationships in this household of faith. And don't allow him to tear things up in your home or on your job where you already have some special and beautiful relationships. Let us talk to God. Our Father and our loving God, Father, we love you so much. And Father, you've made me aware that all over this household of faith and with the families that are a part and connected to this household, that Satan is doing an awful lot to try to tear down and destroy relationships. There are some relationships where the children are starting to feel like they're too grown to be where they are, and the rules are too strict, that they don't realize that how important the relationships are with the parents who love them so much and those who are around them who just want to throw their arms around them and make sure that they don't go through situations that they can't handle all by themselves. And there are those who see each other as being there for one another, but somehow the love doesn't seem to be all that it could be. Father, we ask that you make them recognize that the love isn't always spoken. Sometimes just taking a hand and holding on to a hand. Somehow just throwing your arms around somebody. You may not have the words to say, I love you so very, very much, but somehow just the things that you do can make it aware. Father, Satan is going to try to cause all kinds of situations to disrupt and to destroy relationships. But I'm asking in the precious name of Jesus Christ that right now, Father, even right now, those of us who are here who feel like there's something going on and the relationship is tearing down or breaking up, I ask that you look at real close at it, Father. Let them look real close. I ask that you touch them, Father, and I ask that you speak to them and let them know that relationship they have is much more important than that little thing that Satan threw out there, that little hand grenade, if you will, that we is trying to blow up the relationship that's so beautiful and so special. Father, let each one of us know that you have given us special and beautiful relationships. Let us just take our hands every now and then and throw our arms around each other every now and then and let each other know the relationships are special. The relationships are beautiful. And Satan wouldn't have it to be that way. We know he's going to get involved. Help us to recognize him when he comes. Help us to recognize what he's trying to do. Help us to recognize that if Satan has a victory, it can tear up so much that you've given us that's so very, very beautiful. Thank you for your love. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Father, for taking this time to remind us that you've blessed us with special, beautiful relationships that Satan would not have us to have. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 My Lord. My Lord. Let us stand. As a church, we've got to have special relationships with one another. We've got to care about one another. We've got to reach out and touch one another. If we see somebody's going through something, we need to feel like we're going through it with them. And if somebody has joy, we need to be willing and able and ready, more than just ready, excited about celebrating with them. Because we're all one body in Christ. You know, there may be somebody who has stopped by on this day who is not yet a member of this household of faith or any household of faith. Maybe you haven't joined a church yet, but maybe you realize how real the Lord is. Perhaps this is the day when you decide to become a part of this church family. More importantly, that you give yourself over to the Lord. He loves you so much. He's been waiting for you. Waiting for you to say, this is the right day. He's not waiting for you to get it right. He's not waiting for you to become all that he would have you to be. He knows who you are, and he loves you for who you are. God bless you, my son. My Lord. He's waiting for you. How long? He's been waiting for you all your life. He's not waiting for you to get it right. He's not waiting for you to change all those things that are wrong in your life. He's not waiting for you to say, I'm giving up all those friends that caused me to go off in the wrong. He's not waiting for that. He wants you just as you are. He'll give you that strength that you need, that drive that you need, that desire that you have. He'll help you to recognize you really want to step up and let the world know, I've decided to make Jesus Christ my choice. It's not because my father told me or my mother said so. It's because I've come to know that the Lord is real. Is there somebody who wants to say yes to the Lord? He's waiting for you. Arms wide open. Like the arms wide open there on the window. He's got his arms open. Waiting for all to come. And just let him throw his arms around you. Or maybe now there's somebody who's already said yes to the Lord. But you aren't where you used to be, and you made some commitments when you were in some other place. Things you would do for the Lord. If that's you, and you want to come and become a part of this family, to bring the talents and gifts and all the special things about you that can help us to become more of what God would have us to be. If that's you, why don't you come on? He loves you so much. We love you. And we would like for you to be a part of this household. My Lord. My Lord. Is there someone else thinking about it? Wrestling with it? Waiting for that special day? This could be your special day. My Lord. God bless you all.